On this week's show, Driving BIM from the Beginning with Caitlin Sanchez from ViaTechnic.
Construction is the world's oldest industry, but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started The Contech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in Contech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's Contech Crew time.
All right, we're back. Jacob, I'm outmatched by ViaTechnic people this morning, but I kind of like it because we've got a great guest. How are you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's sunshining, and I'm excited to, you know, hear a little bit more about Caitlin and talk ViaTechnic.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some fun. I can remember meeting Caitlin back in the day and your introduction. Where were we? We were in Phoenix at Advancing Prefab, I think. And we met there and instantly was like, at some point, we got to get her on the show. Caitlin, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How about you, Jeff and Jacob?
We're going to be good because we're going to dive into your story, and it is a fun one. Before we do, though, check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/@TheContechCrew. Subscribe. Follow us on all the socials. Lots of news these days. Lots of good new stuff coming out. So be sure to check us out.
Are you trying to reach the innovators and decision makers in construction technology? Then look no further than sponsoring the Contech Crew. That's right. We're taking new advertisers. Email us at advertising@thecontechcrew.com to learn more.
All right. So you guys know we're all about the people. Caitlin's one of those special people in the industry. Senior VDC manager at ViaTechnic. Tell us about your history, Caitlin. How'd you get here today? And what are you up to?
It's pretty extensive, I guess. I've been in the industry about 17 years now. It all kind of started with my love for woodworking. I did woodworking and cabinet making throughout high school. And worked with an organization called Skills USA. Have you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah.
So Skills USA is an organization in secondary and post-secondary where you go and you compete in a skill-driven field. And it ranges anywhere. There's over 100 different competitions, but it ranges anywhere from, let's just say, cosmetology to welding. And I so happened to got into the organization from my high school woods teacher, and we were part of the chapter for a little town called Belen, New Mexico, which is just south of Albuquerque, New Mexico. I wanted to sport my Zia symbol earrings to sport New Mexico. But yeah, so I started in the organization. I was the president of my chapter. I competed in cabinet making in high school as well in post-secondary college. I have a certificate in furniture building through college. And so I competed in cabinet making, and I won state in high school, and I won state again in post-secondary. And once you compete in those at the state level, then you go at the national level. And then they have worlds that takes place every 2 years. And so when you do that, it kind of gives your first exposure to an actual skill level process. And I loved woodworking, and it was great. It was fun. But when it came time to deciding what I needed to do when I was all grown up and an adult, what was that going to be in terms of a career? And so it was like, well, you know, I want to design it rather than be the one to build it. And so that's what got me into kind of leading into the industry. So I graduated from college and I started getting into the BIM side. So I worked for an engineering firm called Bridgers and Paxton Consulting Engineers in Albuquerque. And I was there for about 8 years, and I did mechanical design as well as BIM coordination through an engineer. And from there, I had a lot of good, solid background. I got my feet wet on the dark side and started the general contracting. So I worked for a general contractor, HB Construction, for about 2 years. And that was my first experience really doing BIM coordination from a GC side. So then now I'm running the projects, making sure the coordination workflows are working, communicating with the subcontractors, developing good processes and workflows, maintaining schedules, you know, being ahead of construction, because there's no point in coordination if you can't be ahead of construction. So I did that for a couple of years. And then I had an opportunity to work for my first out-of-state company, which was Cache Valley Electric. So I was approached from that company, and they needed help with the Facebook data centers. There was a data center that came to Las Lunas, New Mexico, which is just south of Albuquerque, and also helping with a data center in Utah. So Cache Valley Electric is out of Utah. And so I helped manage and run the coordination from the BMS electrical side for a couple of years. It was just less than a couple of years. And then I had an individual reach out to me on LinkedIn, which would be Jacob. And he asked me if I'd be willing to be fully remote and pushing the construction coordination effort and prefab drawings and all that cool jazz with the company out of North Carolina, which was McVeigh and Mangum. And my first thought was, who's this weirdo reaching out to me? Just kidding. You're not weird.
That's a lot of people's first thoughts when they meet you. So it's okay. It's okay. I win them over, though.
We can talk offline about that, because, you know, we've all had that experience.
No, he gave me my real first opportunity to really expand my career and where it was going. So I don't see, like, Jacob's opportunity for me gave me the real ability to see what a true mentor would be. And so when he gave me that, I decided to jump, because a lot of people, at least in New Mexico, are very stuck to hometown, stay in New Mexico. It's a small industry. It still is a small industry, but it's even smaller when you get via New Mexico. So I decided to take the chance. And I worked with Jacob for a couple of years through McVeigh, and we did some really cool stuff through those couple of years. And then we kind of parted our ways. Our whole department parted our ways. I sought other opportunities, and he sought other opportunities. We were still very close. I still consider him an ally, a mentor. And I had the opportunity to work with Knox Innovations, which is kind of an umbrella company to Corbin's, and they're out of Phoenix. And so I was there for about 6 months, and I was doing the VDC project management, but it was less about the software and more about managing people and budget. And while that was great, and they're a great company as well, it was kind of like in the sense of not to the form of challenging that I thought I would have. And so I was about 6 months in, you know, starting to get comfortable with the company, starting to move forward with other things. And then Jacob hits me up again, and he's like, hey, so Viatechnic is awesome, and they're offering this type of position, and it's owner driven through the studio within Viatechnic, and I think you'd be a great fit. And so I considered that, and I took another leap of faith, and I jumped. I've never left a place so soon. So I was 6 months in. I was like, damn, I've only been here 6 months. Like, what do I do? So I decided to go ahead and do it. I trusted Jacob and his guidance. And so I took the leap. I did it. And now, with all my passion through BIM and coordination and process and workflows, things that I have done throughout my career, I was really able to help push the effort now from the owner side. And I kind of, in my mind, I have had opportunities where I have spoken at conferences and really shown my passion. And I have always and forever said that this effort and this process needs to be driven from the owner from day one. And so now that I have the opportunity to work with owners and developers for these processes and workflows, it's really cool to see that we're pushing the envelope and these owners are working with us and really enjoying the fact that we can do that for them. So yeah, 17 years.
17 years. Lots of steps, but I mean, it's an interesting path because most people stick in one layer of this path, not just, you know, they don't move through, and you've kind of gone all the way from mechanical and trade side up through the GC side and had this opportunity to get all the way up. And so you have a view of it. Most of us are fighting. Most people are fighting from just one perspective, but you've seen the perspective. So why do you think that being at the table with the owners and driving it from the owner's perspective is sort of the key to this process, given all of your experience in fab, et cetera?
So I think when you have an owner that truly wants their company and their initiative to be better, you have the opportunity to work with them and show them through your experience why this process, why these standards, why the industry is going in the direction it is, and why it works. And everybody has to play the game, but it does work. And we've seen it throughout our careers, and it's not just me. I know that Jacob, Jeff, you guys have all seen this. But if you're driving the effort from the beginning, day one, it's that much easier to get people involved and engaged and moving forward with the industry and new technology and being more open to the fact of why these things work the way they do, especially with the new technology changes. You're still going to have individuals that are very old school and they think in a different manner. But I just think that it's showing your experience, showing your passion. And more often than not, those owners, those stakeholders will be excited and encouraged to move forward because they're working with individuals that know that these efforts work. So,
yeah. And Jeff, when, you know, the way I ended up finding Caitlin was through LinkedIn and just searching for some other people out there doing some thought leadership. And I saw a video of her doing an AU lecture at one of the Autodesk universities. And it was spot on to the fact of, hey, we should do all these fundamental things to ensure that coordination goes correctly. And I was like, holy crap, that's great. That is perfect. But then also kind of found somebody that matched my passion for the industry. And I was like, yes, all right, this person needs to come work for me. What was really, really unique, and the reason that I've kind of kept bringing Caitlin with me and really pushing through it, is her ability to work with people. And we've always talked about this, right? You know, technology and people in the process. How does that triangle work? But people's the hardest part of this, right? Caitlin, talk about your ability to work with people, why I brought, because I mean, I can talk to it, but you also know that your ability to go in and win people over has become your like superpower in this industry.
Yeah. Okay. So I think this started with my experience in the customer service industry. Through high school, through college, I was a server. And you're always dealing with every kind of walk of life. And you're obviously working for the tips. But at the same time, you're meeting every single type of person, what they do, what they don't like. You're developing that connection and that relationship so that individual has a good experience with you. And from that moment, it was always that, okay, like I understand this person, their needs, if they're going to be difficult or not difficult, if they're going to be fun, you know, you can kind of gauge those things when you have the experience in customer service. And so because of that, it kind of set me up when I started getting into the industry. Being on the coordination side through an engineering firm, you're quickly understanding how an architect works, how an engineer mind works, how you're training individuals through different types of software platforms. So I quickly understood and really gathered that if you're excited about something and you're excited to show someone, then it's that much easier for them to get engaged and get them to move forward with you. So I'm a very, I'm a passionate individual in terms of building relationships with people, any type of person. I'm not the type of person that's very, I'm not abrasive until I have to be abrasive. Usually my bubbly type personality and excited to be where I'm at and smiling goes a long way. I mean, it's just normal. Like, you treat people the way you want to be treated. So that's how I'm a relationship driven person. So my first initiative is to understand these people, understand what they need, where they want to go, and help them get to that next step. And I think over the years, I've learned a lot. But I mean, everyone's different. But I think the main thing is if you're excited about something, someone else is going to be excited about that with you. And that's kind of where my mind goes when I first get into knowing somebody.
I mean, that's the key component, right? Is to kind of understand it, understand them as a person, and then what's in it for them to make the change. And you're right. I've said this for a while. Like, a lot of what we do in the technology world has been sort of beating up the industry, and like that doesn't work. Doesn't make you yelling at them and coming down on them doesn't make people want you to work for them. It just doesn't. So this is the opportunity. I love this service industry, because a lot of us from the service industry have really figured out that it's people first, and that's actually helping them and meeting their needs, having their perspective and a perception of it and delivering on it helps them make that change. So I'm interested, though, now you've seen the technology change so much in 17 years. How has the tooling changed, and how has that changed how you approach the projects?
I'm an adaptable personality. So even though I'm passionate about what has worked so well for me in the past, I'm also willing to learn about, okay, you use this for this type of reason. Tell me why. So I can help you build on that, or I can help you kind of start changing your workflows because something else kind of works better. And this has been my experience with it. I've been very, like, I'm the type of person that if I'm explaining something to somebody or why a certain software works the way it does, this is why, and these are my, like, good and bads with that. So these are my lessons learned. I won't ever do this again because of this reason, or I will always utilize this software because it has saved me so much time and so much effort, and I'm saving you, you know, a lot of time showing you that I've already been down this route. So believe me when I tell you. The technology has changed ever so much. When I first got into the industry, everyone was starting to get into Revit. It was still new. You still had the AutoCAD. So I had a lot of experience up front in my career with AutoCAD, because it was still very much in play. And it is still, but not as heavy as it used to be. And so I'm definitely helped drive the new technology into the hands of people that I know would really like it if they were taught in the ways that make it more user-friendly. So you hear all these horror stories of all these different types of platforms or what you do and you don't like, but I've always been the type of person that's adaptable in terms of what software comes down the pipe. And I think one of the reasons why I am like that these days is because when Jacob and I worked together the first round through McVeigh and Mangum, he was always test driving different software. And we were always utilizing different things to try. And he was very easy to be like, no, let's try it. Let's see how it goes. Let's utilize the platforms. And so naturally, I think that's helped me to be more adaptable in that sense of showing people and being really easygoing in terms of, okay, yeah, let's try it. Let's learn it, you know? So.
Yeah, if you didn't like change, I was the worst nightmare of being a boss, because week one, I would come in and be like, hey, I automated Teams to actually upload everything, but you just have to chat with this and do this over here. And then the next week, I'd be like, oh, we just got a new project management software we're going to try. Let's try this. And it's automating this again. It was every week. And then you had to change it every week. But there you go. She's now very adaptable for everything that we're doing.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's a few people in your life that tell you certain things or certain phrases that you end up carrying with you forever. And there are a couple of things. From my very first job with Bridgers and Paxton, the president of the company, he tells me the very first day, he's like, I expect you to make mistakes. He's like, but I expect you to not make them over and over. So, and then there was another one a couple years down the road. He tells me the only constant you can ever count on is change. And so it's set in my mind forever. And I think about it all the time. Like, my constant is change. And it's always been changing. And I think too, like, I think that's why I'm in the position with Viatechnic I am in, because I have such a widespread knowledge of the industry and my experience that I'm utilized in a lot of different areas through Viatechnic because of that experience. And I mean, it gets a little tiring every once in a while. Jacob hears it, but you know, it's nothing that I'm like, well, I mean, it's better than going outside and washing somebody's car. Not that that's a bad thing, but it's like, it's the constant of change. And like, my mentality and my brain is set in that sense.
Yeah, it allows you and the change, but also, you know, the opportunity to try new things gives you a little bit of play, a little bit of fun. And that fun keeps you from burning out, because that's something 17 years in it. We've seen a lot of people, especially on the BIM and VDC side, suffer with burnout and suffer with, you know, just grinding, especially high performers. So how do you manage that process for yourself? And, you know, sort of keep a good balance and keep rolling, because you're still rolling and you're still happy to jump on here and talk about it. So obviously it's still rolling.
It's still rolling. I mean, everybody has their moments of burnout. You know, I mean, I work from home, which is a huge benefit. You know, Viatechnic really thrives on the work-life balance. And I think that's one of the biggest things that is important, because they have given me the ability to expand on my career as well as maintain my family life too. Like, it's given me personally the ability to expand, but also give my husband the ability to expand in his career. And so we grow and we thrive as a family unit, and still being able to utilize that time for your family and be connected in that sense. So we're not both like grinding day in and day out and the kids are forgotten about. We're still very much so involved with family, involved with, you know, the leisure side of our life, doing fun things, as well as kicking ass, you know, and taking names in our careers. And it's gratifying to know that. And it's also gratifying to be able to see that Viatechnic's given me the ability to expand and balance my work life with my family life, and see that my husband's had the ability to grow, and he's such an inspiration in that sense. So it's not just career driven and able to not avoid burnout. It's also the ability to have a balance with your family life. So, yeah.
No, that's incredible. And I mean, obviously I can testament to that as well. You know, my wife's in the industry as well, and she's been able to grow in her her role as an architect. And it's amazing to have that from the top down as a company. The other reason I did also bring Caitlin over is we are a woman-owned business. We are, you know, ran by Danielle DeBuncio. And I've always tried to give people those opportunities, especially to get mentored by other successful women too, right? I can do so much to help Caitlin, but at some point I can't really give her advice on being a woman in the industry besides being an ally. So Caitlin, part of one of our original panels with, you know, the woman in construction that we did at Procore, just always wanted to make sure she had those mentors as well, continuing to grow it out. But it is. It's incredible to actually have a work-life balance and not have to choose between one or the other. And then, I mean, Jeff, I mean, you know that. You get to go hit the slopes during the middle of the day and enjoy it when you get out there.
Yeah, it is a balance, and you need it. It's interesting because over time I've changed my view on what the balance actually looks like. I used to believe there was this almost like a scales you had to weigh, and it doesn't work that way, right? There are projects and times when you are crushing it and you've got to work. And then there are times when you've got to play And actually, given sort of the creative tasks that we have, the playtime of whether I'm going out and hitting the slopes for a couple hours at lunch or riding my bike at night, getting outdoors, those are actually the times that you hit flow and you creatively solve problems. So businesses that allow that opportunity are allowing their people the space to be creative, and creativity in the workplace far outweighs just somebody grinding. So, because if you grind, you're doing the same thing the same way all the time. And it's most likely because, Caitlin, to your point earlier, change is constant. Actually, there is change that can help you. So it really is interesting. And it's cool to see, you know, a company that is in the space that you're in grown. I've seen Danielle since the beginning of her career in the industry really grow awareness around not only what she's doing, but, you know, I think we can call her a BIM pioneer, can't we? Like,
absolutely.
I mean, that's pretty interesting to see the most, what I would say still the most linchpin part of our industry, because BIM is the basis of so much, that, you know, she's been able to do that. So what has your experience been coming over into that world, Caitlin, and learning these kinds of things?
I mean, to piggyback off of Jacob's remark about being a woman in a male-dominated field, I mean, I came in when it was very heavy in, you know, a male domination. And, like, I mean, I did woodworking. I was the only girl in advanced woods, you know. So I've always kind of, through an early age, understood what it meant to be, you know, woman in a male-dominated field. And I've heard a lot of people and a lot of, like, women-led, you know, conferences or classes speaking about their struggles as a woman in the industry. And I look at it in a different way and how I've learned over the years. I mean, my parents always told me that you better have a strong backbone for what you're going to deal with in the industry because you are a woman in the industry. And so with that mentality, it was kind of like I took no shit from anybody, but I was so respectful. And I had this plumber one time. He tells me, you are like the nicest, bitchiest woman I've ever met in the industry, but you do it all in a professional way. I told him, I'm like, that's pretty funny the way you say that, but I'm not going to let somebody walk all over me because, you know, you're judging me like judging a book by its cover. So I have a squeaky voice, you know, I look younger than I am. Like, my experience has kind of been all in a lot of different avenues, but learning that very quickly early on, it was like, I will prove you wrong and I will do it in a respectful way, but I will also be willing to grow and learn from anybody who is willing to teach me. And so I've never been the type of person that's like gloated at the fact that I'm a woman in a male dominated field. So being that I'm like, oh, woe is me, I'm a woman, you know, I've been thriving at the fact that I know I could always do better. And whether I'm a woman or not a woman, I'm still a woman, still learning in the industry, but at the same time, it does not faze me. So I know that there's always room to grow. That's with anyone and anything, but I really enjoyed learning and progressing and understanding. And I think that's part of my relationship building too, is knowing and understanding those people and how to work with them. Cause there's been some difficult ones in my past that I'm like, ooh, okay, I stay away from this, but this person or that lady, you know, and it's not just men. Like, there's women in the industry that are not for you, you know, like, oh, she's just there because she looks the way she does, you know? So I've heard those comments before, not from men, from women. And I'm like, well, okay. I mean, whatever you feel like makes you feel better. I'm like, but, you know, it's cool.
Unique set of challenges, Caitlin, for you to sort of navigate. And it's funny because, you know, bring a lot of different people onto the show a lot. And I try to be careful that, like, not everybody is the spokesperson for whatever they are in the industry, right? They just are in the industry, but you know, you have put yourself out there on panels. You've talked a lot openly about it. It's kind of I almost want to call it that double-edged sword. Yeah, you're like, it, you know, is this person here because they're this or they're that? And I'm wondering, is there just a way, and you know, if there was, we probably would have found it, but a way to just, you know, let those skills show, because that to me, in every opportunity I have, is like, I've come across a lot of people that shouldn't be doing what they do. And it really has never boiled down to a single trait, whether they come from here, come from there, or are this or are that. There are just people who they're skating and making it. And then there are people who are underestimated over and over and then can consistently deliver. So I'm wondering, like, what can we do? What can people do to kind of overcome that and make themselves open to let somebody sink or swim on their own merits?
Well, it is coming, because we're going to have AR glasses and everybody's going to have a grade above their head as we walk around. And you're going to be able to say, hey, look, that person's actually performed really well. I can't judge her now.
I don't know that we're getting, I hope we're not getting there.
Yeah. Hopefully we won't ever get there, but knowing our society, we'll stay off politics again in this one. Katie, so now you've gone and done it on design side, GC side, trade side, and now you're working for owners. What is it like being the BIM representative of an owner? Because this is new, right? This is brand new to the industry. And you're currently program manager for one of our biggest clients. So how does it differ now when you walk into the room as the BIM owner's rep?
Okay, so there's two questions. There's Jeff's question, then there's Jacob's question. So to Jeff's question about, you know, what you can do, you know, to help with them, with the effort of being like different in the industry. Like, I think a lot of my experience is building on those relationships and understanding people. And on top of like, okay, well, is she really who she is, or is she like a fly by night? I make some noise and I make myself be present, but don't really know jack shit. I think it's all in, proof is in the pudding, right? I mean, I can talk all day long, but I still pride myself in pushing out results. So if I'm not doing it right, I search for feedback and I'm talking with people. I'm not scared to ask questions. I'm not scared to be known. But I'm also not the person that's going to act like a know-it-all. So I'm passionate about what I know and what I love to do. But asking those questions, being present, knowing that, like, you're not the quiet person in the corner. What do they call them? Introverts? Right? So I'm just not that type of personality. And in order to get ahead in the industry, like my niece, she got the same degree I did. I explained to her the opportunities and what's going on in the industry and where she could really thrive. And so she ended up going the same direction. And I told her, like, the key to being successful in this industry is to be excited about learning new things. Don't be quiet in the corner, you know, and ask questions. And that's key, I think. I think you can learn and do anything. Like, you can teach somebody the software if they're interested in learning it. You need to also be able to teach somebody how to be like on the customer service side. Like, I would recommend anybody and everyone to be a server at some point, because you get to understand every walk of life, especially when you're handling their food, because it's a whole nother level. But and then on Jacob's question, what does it feel like? You know, I mean, being that what we're doing, you know, and I am labeled the program manager for one of our biggest clients, it's a little intimidating, but I have to constantly remind myself that I do know what I'm doing, and what's being asked of me isn't intimidating. I'm not scared of the work. I'm not scared to do what we're doing, but having that presence it's reassuring to know that you don't realize that you kind of subliminally put yourself in this position, because I've been talking about it for years, but I never thought I'd actually get here. I remember that I had one of my classes at AU. I was going through my experience and where I've been, and I was joking. And I said, the only thing I haven't done is work on the owner side. So we'll see what happens in the future for that. And it just kind of all fell into place. And now that I'm working on things that I'm helping the owner make those decisions, and they're valuing what I am saying and the experience I have brought to the table, it's so cool. I love it. It's really neat to understand and have those kind of communications with somebody and be truthful with one another and be like, okay, really tell me where you're struggling. Like, where can I help you? Where can I provide guidance? And to have that one-on-one communication and them really entrust in what you're saying is a whole nother level of like achievement in my mind, because it's like, ooh, like I'm really doing what I have been passionate about and people are really listening, you know? So it's really cool. Very cool.
That's awesome to hear. We need that on the owner side. What are the biggest impacts that owners can get out of having their own BIM representative, their own BIM people, and driving process from that side? Because I think there's a reticence around that on what the value is. So what would you call those big values?
Let's see if my mind's in the same spot as your question is. But when I see value about having a BIM rep for the owner is being able to validate and govern standards and process workflows from the beginning. So that's set in their contracts, SOWs, like work deliverables, like those, that type of bubble. When you're setting that from the beginning, you have the BIM rep making sure that your clientele as the owner, the clientele that you have, and your subs, your GCs, all those types of individuals are following what is being recommended and following and showing and follow through with what has been presented and shown that this is what we expect out of you as our, whether you're a client, whether you're anybody that you've hired as a GC, a subcontractor, you know, this is what we do. This is how we follow things. And this is why. If you can produce a why for those individuals, they're more keen on understanding as to what you're putting into this effort. And then also, you know, it's just you're kind of that face that can help those efforts. So it's not just making sure like you're governing these types of things. It's also showing them how to get through them. So also showing the process, showing the workflow, being willing to train those individuals on how to make it successful. You can't just throw somebody to the wolves and expect success. Sometimes you have to show those individuals how to move forward. So you're moving as a team. You're one team. So that means everybody works together for a successful project.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on a lot of it. I love the governing and validating the deliverables. And because there's usually, I'll be honest, we have heard over the years, not the greatest standards inside of those construction documents, inside of those contracts. They are adopted from one place and they're pretty much, I don't know, just words. So it's, you know, it is a very different experience when you come to the table with a very educated owner that can govern and can create accountability. But then you're also showing that, hey, listen, we're going to do that, but we're also invested in helping you get there because we know we need everybody to get there. And it's not just a one size fits all. Everybody's at different phases of learning. Now, what I want you to talk about is what are the changes in the project? I mean, what are the different outcomes from those ones that use contractual BIM and throw it across the table and just go, the owners like yours that lean in and govern the process, validate it, but also teach? What's that tangible thing?
I've dealt with multiple types of owners. I've also dealt with GCs that are leading the effort in, you know, working as like the rep for the owner. So you have different tangible outcomes just depending on like how much backing you actually get. You're only as good as the backing you have. And so the thing about it is like I had a project recently that I was put on with Via Technic because I was here, I was local, and they needed some help. And I come in and I'm like, sweet, like I can help them get this back on track. I can move forward, all of this. And it was a struggle. And I'm not saying that like every time I set foot on a project, I make it successful. There are times where you try your best and you try to move forward with these projects. And sometimes, like, even though it's in their contracts and it's, you're supposed to be pushing this effort, you do deal with some owners that don't know what they're requesting, even though it's in their contracts. You deal with GCs that are just as difficult, that don't really know what they're asking for either, but they know they need to do it. So it's, the process and workflow isn't lined out in the most effective way. So it's a struggle to get everybody in line, and it's that much harder. Now, then you have an owner that does have the backing. Like, you know, we have current projects that are going on and they're really excited about it and they want to move forward. So even though they have significant issues or challenges, and those tasks might take a while to get everybody on board, you do know that you do have the backing, so it's that much easier to process that and move forward with those individuals. So it's still on the relationship building, and I still hang on that because it's understanding what everybody needs. But you do have different types of owners, developers, GCs that you're working with trying to push the effort. I still stand by, even though it's in their contract, it's the wording, it's the way that it's governed, it's the way you're pushing them forward. And not everybody can do that. Learning how to the most tangible thing that you're talking about is hard to pinpoint because everyone is different. But I don't know. Did I answer that question in what you wanted to get out of that? Because, I mean, in my mind, it's kind of hard to pinpoint the tangible thing unless you think I did. But it's just everyone's different. Everyone's a different walk of life. Every company's a different walk of life. And it's hard to understand that unless you're given the opportunity to do a real strategy with them. But
yeah, and I agree. I think what we're going to continue seeing is that every owner is going to be different and is going to ask for something different. And that causes heartache for design and construction teams. That's tough to go from owner to owner, project to project, and be looking at a request that's different. So I think that's where we really want to ensure the process is smooth, because that just words and contracts previously is now more detailed, is now more into, hey, this is the value prop we're getting out of it. But for you to get from A to B, you actually have stuff that we need you to do. And that's where we really get involved as a BIM owner's rep, is saying, let us guide you on that. Don't just throw your hands up and make this a really difficult thing, but let us work with you, because it is going to change from owner to owner. And it's not just going to be your, you know, typical BIM execution plan that comes in and you knew exactly how to deliver and throw BIM across the table.
Yeah, I think ultimately it comes down to the ability to smooth and make that ride and transition smoother for each owner and for each of the teams that you're building together, because it is a process and there is a need for the cohesion, and there's so much friction in what we do because of misunderstanding, because of a lack of experience in those areas. So what you're bringing is the experience level to the owner's side, but you can also empathize with just about everybody in the process, right? You've done just about everything in the process. So that's the key to great, and a great owner's rep is understanding what everybody at that table has and helping it really be frictionless so that everybody can do more with what they need to do. So I think you nailed it. I think the interesting part is they're all different and they're all new. And I'm just excited to see you continue. And it's great to finally get you to sit down with us and talk.
I'm happy to be here. I enjoy both of you. Jacob's got really good. He's really good with his words and simplifying what I go down a rabbit hole in. So thanks, Jacob.
No problem.
But no, I really enjoyed just the entire experience with you guys. So thank you. And hey, I know that I've always had you two in my corner. So I do appreciate everything and the ability to just chat about this stuff and life events. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, you are welcome. Jacob, thank you for sitting down today. And as always, bringing a great guest. Thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for an interview with Caitlin Sanchez. To read all our news stories, learn about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontentcrew.com. This is The Content Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.